you are an improv coach.
Yes.
And
an actor, comedian, denture wearer. I'm so many things to so many people.
And you're based out of New York.
I'm based out of New York City, and I teach here in Indianapolis 9 times a year and twice a year in London, doing improv comedy and acting classes for film and TV.
That's awesome.
And it's my second PopCon, and I could not be happier.
This is our first PopCon. We were here a few months ago. We were here a few months ago for the Indiana Comic Con.
Right.
And this is about the same size audience as that.
This is different. This is such a great convergence of pop culture. So it goes across the nerdverse.
Okay.
You know what I mean? From gaming to internet to film and TV to anime to anything whatsoever. So that's why I love it. And then they bring me back because, you know, one would think charming at this age, hopefully.
Right.
You know?
So you're working with a number of the actors on how to better present themselves. What advice would you give a young person who is considering improv or any type of acting?
The same thing that Cloris Leachman said on Johnny Carson when I was 18. And he asked her, what does a young actor need to know when to start out the business? And she looked in the camera and she said, there's room at the top. And it was like she was talking to me through the camera. I tell them it's their time. It's your time now. But it's two things. It's either what you do or it's who you are. If it's what you do, you'll have successes, you'll have failures. But in the end, go home to your parents, have a kid. That's what they want anyway. You know. But if it's who you are, welcome to your life.
Right.
You know, I can't even begin to tell you on a podcast what jobs I've taken over the years to feed my career, as my job had to feed my career. But you can do this. It's a numbers game. I lasted longer. I kept working because I didn't give up.
Mm-hmm.
Because if I had a year that I didn't work, I was still an actor, you know, and I was still moving towards that career, so studying. But I tell my students all the time, it's your turn.
How about for a person who is not an actor, maybe a person in business or works in life, what type of skills could they learn from an actor?
This is great. I used to do corporate improv comedy with a laughingstock comedy company all over the country. And it's great for corporate because it's team building, mm-hmm. it's bonding, it's getting silly and get in front of an audience. If you've got to get up and speak at a convention for 1,000 people and you don't like to get up at the convention and speak, you learn the skill. Here's the thing. You can't make it matter. You got to care how you're doing. But in the end, it can't matter. If you make it matter, you start editing. You start that, well, I got to make this right. That's the other thing. I got to make this right. That's what I try and get rid of the students. So there's no right or wrong in creativity. There's more free and there's less free. So I try to show them the things that will free them up. I'm saying, you know, you're locked here, and here's why. And most of the time, something's going on in their lives.
Okay.
You know, when I'm doing an acting scene, and they do the scene, I just really look at them and I go, how's it going? And they usually reveal themselves. You know, I know how they did. Hopefully they know how they did. But I'm more interested in how their process is. You're judging yourself. You're holding back. You're worried about how you're sounding. You know, instead of just playing, it's like a piece of clay.
Mm-hmm.
I think creativity is that. You got to give more and cut back, and then you can shape it. But if you don't give enough, it's never going to get built up. So you've got to commit. And then the directors, you know, or the mentors or anybody will kind of help shape that for you. But I have no agenda when I teach. My job is to free you up, to put a mirror up and introduce you to you. And they'll see what the hell happens at that point. And then they start to get free. All these guys that you can see perform Saturday night, I met them all at PopCon. They basically all said to me, gee, you teach, could you teach out here? It started in a weekend, and now I'm here 9 times a year, 4 classes, improv and acting, and I'm having a blast. And if you hear food in my mouth, I'm eating an egg sandwich right now, just so you know. It's a lovely. If you have smell-o-vision, I'm going to put it right up to the phone here. Smell that ham. Mm. Everybody loves piggy in the Midwest. Come on now.
So here's a question for you.
Make it a long one. I'm going to take a bite.
That's all right. So you live in New York City.
Mm-hmm.
We're obviously in the Midwest.
I'm sorry to hear that.
That's right. Is there a difference between how regions, you know, the region you grew up in?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Your pizza sucks and New York pizza's great.
Okay, we could go with that.
Is there pizza in Indianapolis?
No, I'm talking the Midwest. I'm talking the whole center of the country.
All right. But really, a person's background, how does that impact how they view or they relate to acting or freeing up?
Well, that's exactly it. The background influences who you are, influences what you're doing. Mm-hmm. The trick is, I had a young actor once say to me, how can I get to be a great actor? He didn't get the answer he wanted, because I looked at him and I went, get your heart broken. Travel. Eat things you've never eaten before. See the world. Get the hell out of Indiana. And I'm not talking Kansas.
Right.
I'm talking go live and experience. By the time you get back, you'll be terrific.
But isn't that true for just about any career?
No kidding.
I mean, if you want to be a great salesman, staying where you're at is not going to teach you everything that you need to know. A great writer needs to have travel. Travel is really one of the easiest, best ways to learn about humanity.
It's life. And you see how other people live, the cultures. But you also got to be what we're doing.
Mm-hmm.
Meet a stranger, start talking, get involved. I walk into a conversation whether I'm invited or not. Because that's life.
Yeah.
One day I'm not going to, you know, as I tell my students, 20 years I'm going to be crapping in my pants in a nursing home. I'm not going to remember you.
Right.
You know. So right now, I want to do as much as we can together. But it really is about embracing who you are, understanding that it's a journey, and there's no magic pill to be a great actor or a great writer. Experience life and let it flow out of you. Hopefully you'll have a couple of good mentors who'll be like a cat and a mouse and kind of push you back where you need to be, but not imprint their beliefs. I don't imprint my beliefs on my students. I tell them, who are you? Find that out, and then we'll work with it. I'm a great director only because I have great ingredients. It's like a chef, you know what I mean? My show's only great because of the 10 people behind me.
I agree.
You know?
I have some great talent in my shows. I really enjoy seeing, I direct middle school, 12-year-olds to 14-year-olds, and forming who they are, finding out who they are through the magic of acting.
Right.
They really discover what they could potentially be.
Because they don't know who they are yet.
Correct.
And if you kind of, someone 18 once said to me, and even 18, said, you know what? You should direct something this semester. Mm-hmm. You know? And would kind of pushed me in a direction that I didn't know, you know, and said, a mentor does that. And I do that with my students. You know, I'm like, you should try this.
Mm-hmm.
Because
try
if it doesn't work, spit it out.
Right.
Like bad vegetables. You know what I mean? I'm in the Midwest, so I talk about meat more than vegetables.
That's right. We don't really have any vegetables.
I know. I got a friend who says, I don't eat anything green.
It's gone off.
Yeah, it's gone. It's,
yeah, yeah. It's not that's easy
my
being green.
That's my wife's policy. If it's green, it must have gone off.
Yeah, nothing green. I'm sorry.
Yeah. All right, so once a person starts having a set of skills,
uh-huh.
What are some of the areas that they need to refine or that you've seen that many people have a difficult time refining?
I think, first of all, as an actor, they're so, I think we all are, focused and too heavily emphasized on the result and not the process.
Correct.
Because the process, cooking the dinner is almost better than the dinner.
Yeah.
The second before the kiss is almost better than the kiss.
I agree.
Because it's that anticipation. So, being 64, what was the question?
Well, I was basically saying that we start having a set of skills, a writer, an actor. What areas do we find that they have a difficult time refining that maybe as a group that is the first layers to overcome?
I don't know if there's more difficulties, but just in getting them free and getting them to, like my improv company, getting to be a cohesive group.
Okay.
They meet, and I encourage that, once a month without me. It's like baseball. You got to have a players-only meeting, because otherwise they stop hearing your voice.
Okay.
And but they know the level of my commitment to them, and I say to them, you got to have that commitment to each other. Okay. So, for instance, 8 of the 10 are going up tonight having beef and bonding at Shula's. You know what I mean? We're going to have a dinner before the night, and then we're just going to, like this, eat with each other, be social.
Right.
So it's very important. Monday nights when I'm in town, we go to Ollie's downtown as a group, and we eat and we drink together.
Okay.
And I kind of sit back after a while, and I kind of watch them bond, and I go, yep, I'm doing my job.
That's right.
Nobody's talking to me, and they're all talking to each other.
So they've got the teamwork becomes the next layer once you've working with your
trust yourself then trust your partner.
Okay,
that's what I tell.
In improv especially is based on trust, but acting in general, you have to know what the next person's going to say. You have to know what they're going to do, and if something strange happens, you have to know that you're going to fix it together as a group.
Or you're going to go with it.
Or go with it.
We have a saying that a strange scene can only get more strange.
Mm-hmm.
You know, don't try and impose reality back on it. If it's going someplace weird, go.
Yeah.
And if something's not working, we do a lot of tag games.
Mm-hmm.
If they're up there 20 seconds and they're dying, you got to take a bullet for your partner. You got to get in the scene.
Yeah.
Get them out of there.
Okay.
So it keeps moving. It's about the teamwork. It's about them working together. And then Grandpa can sit back and have a cup of tea at night and smile. You know what I mean, at that point?
Because you found that niche. You are a satisfied human because you have found your career and your job. You know who you are, and you can express yourself and be a well-rounded human.
Well, you know what? I just get to do what I love.
Yeah.
And that, I think that's the best thing in life.
Mm-hmm.
And because people are going to judge you for it. Screw them. Go do what you love. Find your peeps. Hang out with them. Be around people who are nurturing, supportive, and more talented than you. My coach used to say, you want to learn how to play tennis? Play with someone who's going to beat you every week.
Yeah.
Because you're going to get better.
Yeah.
And you get people and actors who rise to that level.
Sure.
You know, you bring someone on stage who's great, their game goes up. But if you get two weak people together, they kind of don't know what to do. It's like not knowing what a dance is. But these people I'm with, I adore. It's, you know, why else would an old New Yorker come to Indiana nine times a year? It's for the Hoosiers.
Do teams have a shelf life, as in they can work together for a period of time and then they kind of work themselves out and need to find new...
Well, I've been here 3 years and they're still listening to me. So
okay.
I must be doing something right.
Sure.
But it does happen. People, it's like any relationship.
Sure.
Everybody's in it for a different reason. And sometimes you move on. I've had people in and out of the company in the last 3 years. I've lost good people. But I've replaced them with great people. Not that these other people weren't great, but an influx of new energy.
Mm-hmm.
It needs that.
Okay.
Which is why I step away and let them bond and, you know, without me. Because they need to find out who they are as a group.
Okay.
I know who they are as a group. But they have to establish their own trust and bonds.
Right.
And that's what's... That way, I've done my job. They're trusting each other. They love what they're doing. And they're playing like kids, like when we were 10. You be this guy, I be this guy. Ready, go. You know? No thinking about it. No, how am I doing? You know, a six-year-old never turns to another six-year-old. I really didn't believe your character work in that moment right there. You know, the denouement at the end really did not work for me at all. And
I have a question, actually. Mm-hmm. Would you say
this is Haley. She has a question. She's a writer. I hope I see her work before I'm dead.
So would you say that off-screen chemistry is just as important as on-screen chemistry? Like how the people work together within themselves?
Two different things. As an actor, and I've never met you before, and I have to fall in love with you, I better find something in there that's going on that allows me to do that. But I believe, especially in improv companies where you're doing stuff like that and they're on top of each other, the bonding and the... It's why we go out Monday nights. It's why we're going to Shula's tonight. Because they need social time,
mm-hmm.
and they start to trust each other and they start to garner friendships that they didn't have before the company. And again, it's those moments where I look back and went, if I was the Lone Ranger, I could leave a silver bullet and ride out of town.
Yeah,
you know, okay. my job here is done. But like I said, my therapist after 4 years, 4 years ago tonight would look like we're finished. So I come back to PopCon 3 years later, we're just starting.
Yeah.
And that's what's going on. Hiya, Mike. I'm doing a live podcast right now.
I was only in the wrong hotel for 10 minutes.
I was in the wrong state for 9 years. So I do understand how that works.
So you posted a photo of the Hyatt staying in the Western.
I would, which is right, because I can't take a picture of the Hyatt because I'm in it.
That makes sense.
Yeah. Pull up a chair. What do you get? Get something to eat. Mike?
That's right.
You get the standing podium.
I got to do what I do. Mike Ficarra is a terrific artist and did the logo for my improv company that if you're here at Indie PopCon, you'll see on my shirts, on my T-shirts, tattooed on my ass. It's all over the place. You know.
That costs extra.
Yeah, it does.
It's a sign of good art.
And a lot of bourbon. You know?
Oh, yeah.
Let's start. Where would people find your information?
MikeMakeStuff.com. If you search Mike Makes Stuff on the internet, you're probably going to find me. We've got two tables this year. Get the numbers wrong.
7 and 9. I made that up.
1018 is my table, and then 1027 is a young couple, Wonderfully Grand Mystery, which is a successful Kickstarter brand.
It's a gorgeous book. and I donated money, just so you know.
Right.
It's a gorgeous book.
And where are you based out of?
Indianapolis.
Oh, you are? You're local?
Yep.
Okay.
I know.
So tell me a little bit about your project.
Just start me up.
So Young Puffin's Wonderfully Grand Mystery is a carousel-bound pop-up book for kids. It's kind of like Adorable Animals with a little bit of Sherlock Holmes and Downton Abbey. So you kind of follow Young Puffin as he goes from room to room, figuring out all these missing items that his family has and where they went, and everybody's accusing one another. But it's a really gorgeous book. We've got stuffed animals that go with the book. Our Kickstarter finished right at the beginning of May with 300% of our goal.
Wow.
And so we're starting fulfillment right after the convention this weekend.
Wow.
So you can pick them up this weekend, yeah.
Exciting.
And then I also did the card.
You owe me for this, by the way. Are you walking into this
absolutely,
podcast?
Yeah.
I want a little.
Your coffee's on me all weekend.
The jack comes out.
Hey, I'm a New Yorker.
That's right.
Yeah.
So the card art. You guys know about the cards for PopCon?
No.
So all of the celebrities, they have a card made for them, like a trading size card.
Okay.
And they're collectible. But the cards actually are at the artists' tables. So you go and get them from the artists for free, and then you bring them to the celebrities to have them sign them. The actress who played Mantis in Infinity Wars is here this weekend. I did her art,
uh-huh.
So I have that card at my table.
Nice.
Wonderful.
That's wonderful. So how's the art business? Is the internet changing how you do art, or is it just the distribution?
The internet's changing everything. I think the challenging thing for artists who are trying to get started is that they kind of think the internet is a if you build it, they will come kind of scenario. If you do art and you put it on the internet, then you're going to have a following and you're going to have sales. And anyone who's got any business background knows that that's not the case. You still have to market it aggressively. You have to learn about all the other parts of it. And that's definitely been my experience. I started freelancing 3 years ago. And it's kind of been like year one was just like try and find, do whatever, do anything. Year two was contract, year two was conventions. And then year three was all just books and client work. And so I've kind of found my rhythm with that. And it's been an interesting experience.
We've talked about that many times, how artists who have amazing talent also have to have somebody who can do the marketing, who can do the business side of the business.
And I think that's probably where it's not the talent that's failing them. It's that ability to find their niche or find their next market. And so there's plenty of wonderful artists out there. And in fact, I have a wonderful person up in Chicago. And
by the way, Chicago's not pizza. I just want to keep saying that. Okay, New York is pizza. So keep your lasagna, Chicago. You got that?
But a lot of it is training to artists on how to market and to create profitable businesses. Because anyway,
talent does not make it happen.
It's challenging.
You have to have the talent and that marketing, that business acumen,
or someone to do
it
for you.
That's the skill for even an actor.
Yeah,
you just can't go. Look at me, I'm pretty, hire me.
Yeah.
You gotta go, like me with PopCon. My meme game is strong for a 64-year-old dad, you know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
And I'm not and when I say dad, thousands of students. But you
right.
gotta be able to market it. You gotta be able to, we used to call it in LA, they say creating heat. You gotta create heat for yourself, and then someone is like, wow, Mike's great. You know, I saw his work, I met him a couple years ago, and then he's a friend with one of my kids in the improv company. He kept saying, I got this guy Mike who's gonna do our logo. And then Mike shows up.
Yeah.
It's like, well, no Mike,
right.
You know. But now it's family. If we need anything, that's where I'm going. But it's that's what you build. You build your team.
I was thinking Ryan Reynolds with Deadpool basically took a character that was having a very kind of rotten start, and he created the market for this demand. Certainly,
he's terrifically talented.
I
got to do an episode of Two Guys, a Girl, and a Pizza Place with him.
Okay.
I was one of the pizza owners, because that was the running gag, that it was a different owner every week, and I played Mikos, the Greek owner. And he was great, you know, the show. But you could see that there was star quality, you know, in the sense that he's just free and talented. He's from improv. I would bet my career that he has a strong improv background. But just like an artist, you put it out there, you build your team, and they get the brand out, you know. And once that happens, you got a following. You know, people want your work, you know. But you got to create that heat. You just can't live in an acting bubble or an artist bubble and
hope the phone's going to ring or someone's going to stop you on the street. You got to be your best advocate.
Yep.
More than anything else.
In fact, that's a great advice for any person in any type of career.
Absolutely.
Create your heat out there. That's a wonderful statement.
Go ahead.
This has been fantastic. This is the best improv that we've done all day. And we've already done a show, and this is even better improv.
See how good
that.
Improv? It's because I interrupted the conversation, because, you know, Mike, I talk to everybody, and here we are.
Yeah, I wheeled him probably all of 500 yards yesterday, and I think he got stopped 6 times.
Yeah. I'm sure that is a fun adventure trying to get him from one place to another.
Disco Santa is very popular.
So, Peter, where can our listeners find out more from you and see all of your wonderful memes that you're creating?
First of all, you can Google me and then be very afraid, because I've done 6 movies with the word bikini in the title that a lot of people have probably seen but they never cop to. But they can go to IMDb or peterspellos.com, all lowercase, or at @pspellos on Twitter, or if you have a friend who can hunt me down on Facebook. I speak to the fans, I speak to my friends, because these are not fans anymore here. These are my friends. I come into Indianapolis to work with my friends. But that's the best. And I'm going to say one thing. Support your local theater and artists. Mm-hmm. Not just national. Then go see Hairspray in New York or Chicago. People like Mike. People working the line, as we used to say, in the kitchen. Support. Go to the theater. Go to a gallery. Go see kids doing something. Because that mentoring, that will give them the strength. Well, maybe I can do this. Mm-hmm. And you know, if the world was a little more, maybe I can do this and take care of us, it would all be better for all of us.
Mike, where can we find more information about your talent and your books and everything you're doing?
So, MikeMakesStuff.com or on Facebook or Twitter, those are all direct to the same place. And those will pretty much spread out from there. I have a lot of projects. I just launched another business doing home goods, so you can find a link to that on that page as well, or just come by and check it out at the table this weekend.
Wonderful.
Yeah. And make sure when you do contact Mike, you tell him Peter Spello sent you. This this way I can keep getting coffee and donuts from him all the time. All right, just want to make
Chicago
sure.
Chicago pizza.
Stop! End of podcast.